All right, folks, welcome to this episode of O365A. On tonight's episode, we're going to talk about some exciting new features recently released in the Microsoft Teams ecosystem, including some fantastic updates to the new Microsoft Teams PowerShell module. So with that, Michael, I'll turn it over to you and you can tell us about pronouns.
Yeah, let me share my screen. Yeah, so this one might have slipped under people's radar on the Microsoft 365 roadmap. So we have basically an entry for pronouns being available on the profile card in Teams and actually coming to Outlook as well. Although the GA or general availability date says March and preview says February, if you are following the public preview for Teams, it looks like the public preview just opened up in early March for pronouns. So how we work with this is we have to make sure our tenant is on targeted release. We need to turn on pronouns within the Microsoft 365 Admin Center. And then the users that are going to be interacting with pronouns on the profile card need to be using Teams in public preview mode. So to kind of walk through those steps, we go into our Microsoft 365 Admin Center. We go under settings and then org settings. And then under organization profile, we're going to look under these release preferences. So we do need to have that targeted release. So if you're in standard release, you won't see it. And then once we're in targeted release, under security and privacy, there's a new section called pronouns. And we're able to kind of just turn that on. Now in the documentation, Microsoft says, you know, if you are turning this on or off, it might take about 6 hours for that to replicate. And if you're using pronouns and you put, you know, that information on the profile card and you turn off this feature, that information will be available for about 30 days before it gets kind of purged from the tenant. So on the Teams side, we've gone over the public preview for Teams, but basically we go into the Teams Admin Center, go under Teams Update Policies, and then we would either create a new policy that turns on public preview mode, or you can modify your global depending on what you're doing with your users. And then when we go in the Teams client, we'll want to flip over to preview. So we go under the three dots about public preview. That's going to cause the client to relaunch. And then now when we go under our profile photo at the top corner and click on our name, we're going to have the ability to set our pronouns. So we can hit the plus. We can select, you know, whatever pronouns are appropriate for your user or for your employee, hit save, and now that will show up on the profile card. So an example is I can go look up a user that I had a call with. We can see the pronouns that they picked. And these, you're able to enter in, you know, the appropriate pronouns. If they're not in there, they just give you some suggestions of what are some options.
Hey, Michael, is that always manually set by the user, or is it possible to populate that from an AD attribute?
I've only seen it been on the user side. So hopefully there's an API that we can, you know, at least do it, set it through Graph. But in preview, this is how you would set it, and it's on the user by user basis.
All right. And last question, if you set it in like on desktop, I'm assuming it carries through to mobile and the web client.
Yeah, as long as the Teams client is in preview. Now it's supposed to go to Teams and Outlook, but for now, while you're in preview, as long as your client's in preview, regardless of where it is, the profile card will show that.
Good stuff.
Dan, I've had a lot of enterprise customers asking on how they can support it. They think, you know, thought about, you know, using custom attributes and you know, maybe a Power App that would, you know, look at the organization, you know, company directory. So it's nice to kind of have that built it in into the profile card. It's a little buried though. Like if I was to look at Lydia here, you know, you have to get the pop-up to see the actual pronouns, and they're not kind of visible next to the display name or anything like that. Okay. With that, I'll pass it to Hab because there's a bunch of other recent updates.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. So yeah, one of the new, I guess, feature updates that's come out is or coming out is the presenter window improvements in screen sharing. So previously, you know, as a presenter, when you go to share your screen, the actual Teams window that has all of your controls as a user gets minimized and it just shares your screen. So you don't actually know sort of anything that's happening within your meeting. You don't have the ability to, you know, access your share screen, your mute, your video, or even see, you know, if anyone has raised their hand. So what it's going to do now is it's going to float a window which will have, you know, the active speaker in the, you know, clear view, all of the different controls such as, you know, end call, the screen, the share screen control, mute, camera, are they going to be there? Raise hand is always also going to be there as well, because as a presenter, it was always difficult for not being able to see if anybody is raising their hand. You sort of had to bring that window up in either to another screen, or if you're using a single screen, you have to bring that into the foreground in order to see that. So that's a great feature that's coming. Also, speaking about just the raise hand capability, there's going to be the automatic of lowering of the raise hand, where, you know, if you raised your hand and you've spoken and you forget to, you know, lower your hand, the system itself is going to automatically lower it for you. So that's another feature that was recently released. Next one here is the explicit recording consent for Teams meetings. So this is where it's more around a compliance thing where the organization has to enable it. It's off by disabled. But what the functionality now provides is that when you start the recording or transcription in a meeting, the user has to be or has to basically accept that they want to be recorded or be included in recording. If they do not, then their mic and their video camera are disabled until they actually accept the feature, or accept themselves to be recorded. So again, it's disabled by default. The administrator would have to modify the meeting policy via, I think right now it's just showing, I think you can do it through the admin center, but also do it through PowerShell. So set-cs Teams meeting policy, and then modify the explicit recording consent to enabled. So once you have that done, then it will just pop up whenever the recording is enabled, and then they'll have to consent to the recording. And then lastly, I want to talk about Cameo and PowerPoint Live. So what this does is going to provide the ability as the presenter, when you have the PowerPoint Live enabled, to be able to select a layout for Cameo in PowerPoint Live. So I have the ability to just say, okay, just give the content only, or do I want to be standout, or do I want to have Cameo inside PowerPoint Live where I'm just sort of just in the, you know, in the bottom right, kind of like the a news reporter type deal. So that's another feature that's coming to PowerPoint Live. So it's going to be another option inside like the meeting bar, you know, such as like the chat people, raise hand, react currently are. There'll be a new layout, and within that, you'll have the Cameo functionality there. And so those are some of the features, new features that are pretty cool and exciting that I'd like to share. And I'll pass it back over to Michael to talk to us about the updated Microsoft Teams PowerShell module.
Yeah, I was working with a customer, and you know, they didn't have the PowerShell module installed, so they ran it, and all of a sudden version 5 popped up. So some announcements on what's in version 5 kind of came out after the fact, but it was interesting to see the new module released kind of earlier than the documentation. But this PowerShell module, especially around the Get CS Online User, has quite a bit of performance improvements over the earlier PowerShell module. So just kind of a demo, I have a tenant with about 44,000 users, and we just measured the Get CS Online User, and we're getting the results returned within about, you know, just under 3 minutes with the version 5. And if we look at that from the previous version, which was 4.9.3, that same command with the same size tenant was coming closer to, you know, almost just after just over nine minutes. So, you know, just under 3 to just over 9 to get all your users, that's a huge difference. But also on the filtering side. So in the new version 5 PowerShell, we have the ability to do filtering. And it looks like it's like maybe the previous versions were doing a little bit on client side versus server side. So this tenant has, you know, 40,000 plus users. I basically put a filter in there that says I want to get any user that has phone system as an activated feature. That result is less than, you know, half a second, right? Like we're talking about 400 milliseconds on version 5. If we do that in the previous version of PowerShell, PowerShell module, let's see if we can find it. That was turning us, you know, about 4.5 minutes. So 400 milliseconds versus 4.5 minutes for, you know, 40,000 plus tenant user wow. tenants is phenomenal performance. Makes me wonder what they changed, because it doesn't seem like it's, you know, kind of on the back end side, because both PowerShells work in kind of coexistence. So it must be some optimization that they did locally on the client side. So that, like, I think they were doing a lot of processing client side in the older version, and they're doing a lot of server side now. But yeah, great performance, especially for your scripting. You know, of course, make sure you update and test, and then, you know, make sure you have your error handling in place. With that, I'll throw it over to Dino, because there's lots of changes on the reporting side.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Michael. Yeah, so we previously talked about some of the Power BI reporting capabilities, like in a previous podcast, and there's been some updates on those recently. So I thought I'd just quickly walk you through them all. So if you go to the landing page for using Power BI to analyze CQD data, you can see this was updated around February 21st was the last time, but all of these reports have been optimized and there's a whole new look and feel to them. So if you download the connector using the download link, it's gonna take you to a zip file, and I'll just slide this over just to show you the differences in here. So you can see the legacy components that were in here. So you kind of have these reports available to you before that you'd have to kind of install one by one. So it's neat that they've included them, but you can see that all the new reports now are located in the QER directory, and 4.8 looks like it was done around the 1st of January. So you'd simply just double click this. It would launch Power BI. It'll open all the reports with all the tabs, and then you can publish it to wherever you want. But what's really interesting is this MTOE directory, and this is part of this Teams optimized experience program where you can get Microsoft engineers to come in and kind of give you deep dive analysis of your networks and things like that. Instead of having to pay for that, you can just kind of install these reports and look through it yourself. And within these, there's a couple of hidden reports that you won't get unless you install them. One is for Microsoft Phone and one is for MTR. And so each of these directories have a special report that you can install. And I'll show you those in a second. There's the one for MTR and Phone. And there's this data sheet that talks about this Microsoft Teams optimized experience. So you should have a look at those, but once you've gone ahead and installed the reports, I'll just shift to Power BI. I'll start with the new auto attendance, the cloud-based auto attendance, three tabs. Cloud auto attendance uses that new voice analytics service to grab all these details. So I haven't had a lot of time to go through this, but it does seem to be providing a lot more details around the calls that come into auto attendance call queues. So you can sort of see here at a bird's eye view of what's happening with external calls versus internal. I had 29 PSTN calls, 3 internal for a total of 32 calls. Sort of average seconds in the auto attendant, that's kind of new. Average caller actions, and then sort of a history here of all the different calls that come in. So that's kind of neat. In terms of call queues, same sort of thing. Report's been rebuilt. You can see abandoned calls, calls that have timed out, gone to voicemail, average session lengths. So these types of reports are what managers have been asking for. You know, agent timelines, these are nice. You can click through them. So, you know, there was 2 calls answered. I can sort of drill down to see the dates and then expand on each of these calls and see what, you know, at hour 10, there was a couple calls answered. And so some further descriptions here, which call, what the call queue name was and the agent. So again, Microsoft sort of answering the call to enhance some of these reports. And then of course, the fully revamped CQD style reports, or the QER Power BI, this is version 4.8. I won't go through all of these, but you can see the main page here now shows you about all the different reports. That's new. It kind of defines them all rather than just having to find them. And then you can click on any one of these reports to sort of drill down. They do take some time to load. So, you know, I'd encourage you to install them and then start looking at each of these reports. I did install the MTR reports in here. So I don't have any MTR reports in this, or MTR devices in this tenant, but you can see that they've added some overview reports, health details, meeting health details. So this is really exciting. Should help you narrow, find and solve for quality issues with MTRs. And then lastly, there's the phone report. I showed you that directory previously. So this is that other hidden report that you can install, and it gives you a bunch of details around PSTN specifically. And you can see here, there's PSTN overview, PSTN user details, clients, devices, direct routing, SBC, and user details by SBC. So I'm on the overview page here, and I like this kind of dash, this view, and it's similar to the last one, but there's some more enhancements. But you can kind of see poor audio over the last 30 days. I don't have any in this tenant, both on 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz bands. So that's just a quick overview. Hopefully you'll be able to install them and be able to have a look at what's going on in your tenant. And with that, I'll pass it over to Kurt. He's going to talk about profile cards.
Yeah, thanks, Dino. Just a couple of updates about a few smaller features. Some have been previously announced, and in Message Center, they just gave an update with new timelines. So one of them is around insights about people and profile cards that'll be coming to Microsoft Teams. So you might have seen this in some of the other Microsoft 365 products, such as Outlook. And that's just giving you more information about people in your organization, such as birthdays, LinkedIn posts, career changes, even pending meeting invites within the profile card. So that's coming to Microsoft Teams. They're going to start rolling out early March 2023. So that should be now. And they expect to be complete by the end of this month, March 2023. So that'll just help with collaboration, knowing more up-to-date information about the people you're interacting with. But that'll be user visible, so you probably want to be aware of it. Also, there was an update to a previously announced feature change around the My Activity feed in the Microsoft Teams desktop and web clients. So that My Activity feed right now shows activities not just directed at you, but right across the whole Teams ecosystem. They're going to retire that type of experience, and now Activity will just support only activities directed to you. And they're going to continue to evolve this experience. I think they're trying to figure out what is the optimal way to surface activity in the Teams client. We all experience the pain of the Teams fire hose coming at us every day. So this change is going to roll out mid-March, as previously announced late February, but it's been delayed a bit. And they expect the rollout to be completed in the end of this month again, so late March. So again, that's something to be aware of. That activity feed is very visible to end users, so they might be seeing changes, might be confused, might want to do some proactive end user communication or training on that one. And in other news, in terms of rolling out changes, there was an announcement made recently that Teams will support targeted releases. and this will come this month. So all commercial cloud tenants will have Microsoft Teams rolled into the targeted release process, which right now the targeted release process, it's supported for OneDrive for Business, SharePoint, some of the other Microsoft 365 products. And basically a targeted release, for those who don't know, they allow early access to feature releases across all Microsoft 365 apps and services. And before, Microsoft Teams wasn't part of that. So now it will be. So they're going to roll out this in early March, and they expect to be fully complete with rollout around mid-April. And lastly, you know, just thinking about new features, big features coming to Microsoft Teams. There's been a lot of speculation online that Microsoft is going to release their new Teams version 2 client at the end of March 2023. Might be a good time to start reviewing how preview releases are made available to your end users, so you can start to prep for that. We covered that in a previous blog post about using the Microsoft update policies to determine which users get which access to which preview features. And with that, that's about it. I hope that was a good whirlwind tour of the latest, greatest updates in Microsoft Teams, and we'll see you on the next podcast. Thanks.
Thank you.